earth, and sky.
Much of my young adult life was centered on how do you prevent deforestation? How do you maintain the forest resources or even improve the forest resources that we have given the environmental situation?
You're listening to Malanding Jeta of Columbia University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Jeta is helping to develop a species distribution grid, which offers online maps that show which species live where across the globe. Earth Sky's Jeremy Shear talked with Dr. Jeta.
Now, I understand you're involved in something called the Species Distribution Grids Project. Tell me about the project.
Yeah, the Species Distribution Grid is really stems from an effort earlier on by NatureServe and a number of conservation groups. What they did earlier on was to compile distribution data of as many as 12,000 species of mammals, birds, and amphibia. And earlier on, the data product was basically polygons denoting existence or presence or absence of species, as well as, you know, some of the various conservation-related information about those species. But then what we realized was few people had real ability to utilize the data set. And we then decided to make the data more accessible to the general public and as well as the scientific community by going ahead and grading the species at a resolution of 1 kilometer grid cells, which means that for the whole Earth, you know, you have somewhere around 40,000 columns by 21,000 rows. And each of the grids really denote where a particular species is existing or is known to exist.
If I go to that website and I look for, say, polar bears, then what would pop up on the screen?
You will have a list of all species that has polar or bear or both. And then you would decide which one of those you want to download or you are interested in. And once you hit, you should be able to say, okay, do I need the entire family? If you do, you should have the ability to download the entire family grid. That would tell you for every particular area, land area, how many species of that family exist.
Mm-hmm. So why is this project important? What does it do for scientists?
Well, one of the major challenges had been, deciding which areas, for example, to conserve. And to enable that effort, you need to know how many species share that particular area. Because that way you should then be able to, you know, prioritize your area based on the richness of species richness. If indeed you are interested in a particular species and you want to know where within a particular geographic area where it exists and what other factors that help or influence or go against that species' existence too, you should be able to bring in this particular data and, you know, just combine it with existing environmental data sets such as land cover or elevation data, or even population distribution data.
I see. So it helps these scientists make more informed decisions about conservation. What about for the average person?
If someone wants to know where in the world do we have most of a particular family existing, especially for amphibia, for example, or where in the world do we have most mammals existing in South America, they should be able to open this data and see a map of that richness grid. And certainly should help them determine, okay, this particular species is in this place or the whole family is really centered in this particular geographic location.
Okay. Now I'd like to switch gears a bit and ask you some questions about science more generally. So first of all, why did you decide to become a scientist, and what do you like about being a scientist?
Well, you know, when I started, I started with my undergrad in forestry, and from there, you know, natural resource management, forest resource management became a big part of my life. And when I went to grad school, my interest was how do I use technology to be able to understand how human impacts affect the environment.
And now, your interest in forests, where does this come from? Does this come from where you grew up, or interest as a child, or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, very much where I grew up. I mean,
where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Gambia, West Africa, and changes in the environment had been an important part of our lives since I started noticing things around me. Because living along the Sahel, I grew at a time when drought came in for the first time. And that, of course, led to a lot of interest in mitigating the impact of drought on populations. So once there is drought, how does it impact use of the resources? And, much of my young adult life was centered on how do you prevent deforestation? How do you maintain the forest resources or even improve the forest resources that we have given the environmental situation. When I came to grad school, the natural area of interest really became how do I go beyond just one forest or one plot and look at the entire ecosystem. So that's really how, I'm led into landscape ecology, forest resource.
And so what do you like about this work? What do you like about being a scientist?
Well, one is really to provide information that ordinarily would not exist. Not only from a conservation point of view, but from a perspective where even non-conservation folks can utilize the data set. People can, integrate different varied data sets from different backgrounds, such as combining data on demography, population distribution, and species, that is wildlife species distribution, would enhance people's understanding of where do we have the flashpoints or where do we have the hotspots when it comes to protection of certain species.
You've been listening to Malanding Jeta of Columbia University's Center for International Earth Science and Information Network. EarthSky thanks Dr. Jeta for giving his time to serve on our Global Science Advisory Council. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Joel Block, and you've been listening to EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.